Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Alan Searcy. Thank you for all the messages and support for the show since we brought it back 2 weeks ago. I've noticed some reviews are rolling in, and those are really helpful. Now, I hope that you enjoyed last week's episode about the White Building in Franklin, Tennessee. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. I had a lot of fun investigating that place and learning about the mysterious Drake that resides in the building. Today, we're going to talk about the original Galt House in Louisville, Kentucky. Like other major riverboat towns like St. Louis, Nashville, and Cincinnati, Louisville's population doubled from 1820 to 1830. As Louisville blossomed into a small town and then one of the fastest growing cities in the United States, Dr. William Galt saw the need for an upscale lodging resort near the river. In 1833, Dr. Galt began construction on a massive four-story, 60-room hotel on the corner of 2nd and Main Street, just a short walk away from the river. When the Galt House opened the following year, Dr. Galt's opulent hotel became the place to stay in Louisville, Kentucky. In fact, legendary writer Charles Dickens stayed at the Galt House during a trip to the United States. Even though the Galt House was one of the finest places to stay in town, it was also the scene of a handful of shootings there in the hotel. In December 1838, Edward Wilkinson, a judge from Natchez, Mississippi, was staying at the Galt House after a trip to Bardstown, where his wife was from. Accompanied by his brother Ben and their friend John Murdaugh, they went to see John Redding, who ran a tailor shop downtown. Redding had been hired to make a coat, a vest, and a pair of slacks for Ben. Initially, the coat didn't fit, but the tailor insisted on fixing it. The next day when they returned to see Mr. Redding, Ben tried on the coat, but it still wouldn't fit. The men started arguing over it, and Edward made a remark about arguing with quote-unquote a man of his profession. Well, as you would expect, Mr. Redding, he didn't appreciate that. A fight broke out, and people rushed in from the street to break it up. After the dust-up, John Redding and some friends went looking for the three men from Mississippi there at the Galt House. When they found Edward Dickinson alone, the three men tried to goad him into a fight. But the judge didn't take the bait, although he did show the three men a large knife he was carrying. After one of the men got in John Murdaugh's face, a melee ensued. A few minutes later, John Redding and one of his buddies, they lay dead on the floor of the hotel. Later that night, Judge Wilkinson and John Murdaugh were charged with murder. The pair from Mississippi claimed to self-defense, and ultimately they were acquitted. But that wasn't the only murder at the Galt House. In September 1862, Brigadier General Jefferson C. Davis was sent to Louisville to report to Union General William Nelson at the hotel. And just so we're clear, this Jefferson Davis was a general, not the president of the Confederacy. General William Nelson was a very large man. He stood 6'2" and weighed 300 pounds. In fact, he was known as Bull Nelson due to his size. But for as big as he was, his temper was even bigger. Intimidation was a tactic Nelson used to keep his men in line. On the other hand, General Davis, he was barely 5'9" and weighed in at 125 pounds. Davis hated Bull Nelson, and he considered him to be a bully. Davis had been put in charge of recruiting for the Federal Army in Louisville, so when Bull Nelson came up to him and asked him how many men he had signed up, General Davis blew him off and kept saying, "I don't know." When Nelson cursed and berated his insubordinate subordinate, something strange happened. General Davis cussed back and got into Bull Nelson's face. General Nelson came unglued and kicked Davis out of Louisville and ordered him to report to Cincinnati. Well, A few days later, a commanding officer sent Davis back to the Galt House. Except, he wasn't alone. Davis had stopped to pick up his old friend, Indiana Governor Oliver P. Morton. And like Davis, Governor Morton wasn't a fan of Will Nelson. He had lost 1,500 Indiana soldiers at the Battle of Richmond. Emboldened by the governor, General Davis approached Will Nelson and demanded an apology. The towering general laughed at the little brigadier general and told him to go away. Undeterred and emboldened by the presence of the Indiana governor, once again, Davis demanded an apology. General Nelson continued to laugh and started to belittle the pesky officer once again. Davis was getting angrier and angrier by the second, and he crushed up an enrollment card as the two men argued. Eventually, he became so mad that he threw the wadded-up piece of paper into Bull Nelson's face. The harsh Union general wasted no time smacking Davis with an open palm right there in front of Governor Morton. Before storming away, General Nelson turned to the governor and asked him if he came to see his friend disrespect him. This was the last straw. Jefferson C. Davis would not be disrespected. He left to go get a pistol from a friend and then went looking for Bull Nelson. Within a minute or so, the two met in the doorway of General Nelson's office. Without saying a word, Davis quickly raised his gun and shot his adversary in the heart. The general began bleeding profusely as he climbed a flight of stairs to the second floor, where he fell helplessly to the ground. Knowing he was almost out of time, the bloody general asked for a preacher so he could be baptized. A local preacher from a nearby church raced to his side and baptized Bull Nelson right there in the room. When Union General Thomas Crittenden came into the room, he asked Bull Nelson if he was okay. The weak and feeble general replied, "Tom, I am murdered." A few minutes later, he was dead. To the surprise of many, Jefferson C. Davis didn't try to flee the Galt House. He surrendered to military personnel on the spot and was taken to a room in the hotel where he was held without a guard. And surprisingly, General Davis was never charged with murder. He argued that he wasn't familiar with the gun he was holding and didn't expect it to go off when it did. All he was trying to do was to get Nelson to lash out in front of the governor. And that's not the only tragedy at the Galt House. In the early morning hours of January 11, 1865, while all the guests and staff members were sound asleep, a fire broke out in the rear of the Galt House. The flames quickly spread into a dumbwaiter and extended to all four floors. Fortunately, an alert staff member smelled smoke and took it upon himself to run through the hotel. As he knocked on as many doors as he could get to, the heroic employee shouted, "Fire!" at the top of his lungs. By the time the local fire company arrived, the primitive horse-drawn engine was of little use. Within 2 hours, the once lavish hotel and adjoining warehouse on the east side, they were reduced to smoldering ruins. All the hotel staff and guests, with the exception of two, were successfully evacuated. The next morning, the bodies of two guests were pulled from the rubble. Today, in the original footprint of the hotel, you'll find some restaurants, a theater, as well as a Whiskey Row Lofts. And those that work in the buildings talk about strange things that happen from time to time, especially at night. In the pizza place in the bar that occupies the building, employees claim that chairs, silverware, and other things like pizza boxes have been known to move on their own. Some have even claimed to see shadows and dark figures moving around late at night. It's so spooky that one evening the owner of the establishment ran out of the building after seeing something walk in front of him. While it's not known who the spirit is, an old palm reader that used to work in the pizza place, she claimed that she picked up on a female spirit from a different era named Elizabeth. Some have speculated that Elizabeth was an unaccounted for victim in the fire almost 160 years ago. If you'd like to learn more about the ghosts there of the Galt House, and also Louisville, please check out our book, Southern Ghost Stories, Louisville, Kentucky. And thanks for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe, and please leave a review for the show. Also, follow the Southern Ghost Stories on Facebook and Instagram. We also have a YouTube page, some cool videos over there. We archive the podcast, and there's some videos of places like Trousdale Place and different places around the South I've been to, and some really crazy, wacky stories. And you can find the books in Barnes & Noble. If you can't find the books, ask a manager, and they'll order them for you. So next week, make sure you come back, because I got a really cool story about the old Central State Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll see you then. Did you hear about the dyslexic zombie? He only eats Brian's.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
You've already said that one before. I've heard it.